Genesis 25, verse 47. Isaac married Rebekah. Finally, she has twins. The twins are Esau and Jacob. And verse 24 says, or 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. So here is a mother who has two sons, they're twins, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Now chapter 27, let's see what's going to transpire. Verse 5, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. Remember that Esau is the firstborn, and technically he should receive the blessing as well as the birthright. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it to his father. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and so forth. Verse 8, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory food for your father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, so that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall sing to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. Verse 15, and Rebekah took the goodly garments of Esau her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory food, and the bread which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. And so Jacob goes in now, and verse 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit down and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God sent me good speed. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And so he steals the blessing. That's all I'm going to read for now. Let's have another word of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the truth that you tell us in your word. We are aware that the people of God think of the saints and servants of old, and they make them heroes and put them upon pedestals, but thy word does not put them there, but in a limited way. We are thankful that you tell us the truth. We are thankful that you know the hearts of men, and you have laid before us the hearts of men and of women. So tonight, from what we've read and the other portions in thy will that we shall consider, bless us, we pray. Let us understand about ambition, the ambition of these mothers. So our God, For the blessings of this day, we thank you. Our God, we did not forsake the assembling of ourselves together this morning. We came, we remembered thy Son. We sought to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for all who were out. Bless the ministry that they heard this morning. And again, the mothers of the land, our God, may they be somewhat like the good woman in Proverbs 31, and not like the mothers we see on every hand. Bless in this respect. Now cleanse us from our sins, we confess, and be faithful and just to forgive, as you have promised, and empower and prepare hearts, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is nothing wrong for a Christian to be ambitious. There is nothing wrong for a mother to have ambitions for her children, or for that matter, to have ambitions for herself. Sometime I may tell you about the three references given by the Apostle Paul that uses a word that could legitimately be translated ambition. He speaks of three of his ambitions. I'm not even going to tell you any more about it other than this, that God sets before us the ambitions of Paul, and they are worthy ambitions, and they were to be acquired in a worthy way, and therefore God sets them before us. However, there are others in Scripture that are ambitious for their children, and what makes it so difficult is that the ambitions that they have are good ambitions, but when they become afraid that these ambitions shall not be realized, they are prepared to go to any length to secure these blessings. It's like this. Do you think that it's a good thing for all people in America to have Bibles? You say yes. Well then, perhaps you're behind the statistical fact that of all the books that are stolen from the library, the Bible is the one that's stolen most often. Is it good for a person to have a Bible? Yes. Well then, let them go to the library and steal it. You say, no, here is a bad way of securing a good thing. And some people will say, well, the good thing overrides the evil that conspired to secure it. No, it does not. God considers those things. God takes into consideration what is right and what is wrong. And if we had faith, we could wait God's time and trust him to bring it about his way for the securing of the ambitious ends we have for ourselves and for our children. But so many children of God have failed when God promised Abraham, the father and grandfather, the father of Isaac, grandfather of Jacob, when he promised him a child, he, with his wife, Sarah, became impatient and thought that through his wife, Hagar, that is called a concubine, that they should secure this child. And they secured a child, but it was not the child that God wanted them to have. And it caused ever so much family discord and heartbreak, and the repercussions are felt even to this day. Because here is something that God promised. Well, if God promised it, then certainly, since it seems impossible for it to come about the way that it should come about, we will have to alter the facts and secure it in a way that is not according to what God sets forth in his word. But this is never necessary. And let me ask you this. Suppose there is something that is legitimate for you to have. Now, the only way you could secure it is in an illegitimate way. Do you think that God would want you to secure it? You say no. And the verse that is so meaningful is that verse that's found in Psalm 84. It says, the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If I ask you, do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Then if there is a good thing to come into your life, will God withhold it from you? No. No good thing will he withhold from them. And how do you secure that good thing? The assurance that God will bring good things into your life. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, what if you think that the object that you have your eyes set upon is a good thing, but God is not going to give it to you in a scriptural, lawful way, and you think it's a good thing, and you say, well, God has promised that he will withhold no good thing from me. Therefore, is it legitimate to go about getting it in a way that is sinful and contrary to what is set forth in his word? You say, no. Well, would you, even though you confess that, get it in a way that is unlawful? And your answer would be, yes. Is that not a sad thing? But I'm thinking, in contrast to Rebecca, and in contrast to even Abraham, the father of the faithful, in contrast to them, there was a man named Joseph who was prepared to wait God's time. However long it took, and whatever suffering and privation and humiliation were involved, and Joseph, who was cast in prison, having been sold as a slave, slandered, lied about, finally, it says, after 2 full years, this Joseph, who trusted in his God, the Lord was with him, he was lifted from the dungeon, and he sat next to Pharaoh on the throne. But I'm afraid that most of the time, I would say, I've been in prison, I tried to do God's will, for that reason, it's evident that God is not with me. The only way I'm going to get out is by bribery or by escape. But Joseph trusted his God. And when he brought him out, it was not simply freedom, but it was exaltation. And may God instill in my heart such faith, the belief that no good thing will he withhold from me and you, from any of his children. And the only thing we have to do to secure them, however long it takes, is to walk uprightly. Abram, who had his name changed to Abraham, and Sarai, who had her name changed to Sarah, had to wait 25 years. And Abraham was 75 when the promise was made, and he was 100, finally, when God gave that promise. How much better, like Joseph, to have a promise from God and to trust his God. Trust in the dream that God had sent him. Trust in that God, and without compromising, without having to confess that in a shameful way I sought to bring about this exaltation that God told me was going to come to pass, that would have been so fine a thing for Abraham and for Rebekah. But in Joseph's case, it did come to pass. I mention that because there are some mothers who are ambitious for their children, and the ambition that they have for their children is good. But it may be that what you want for the child is not the will of God. And if you go about and pervert justice and put your child in that position that God never desired him to be in, then you will destroy him rather than exalt him. Your ambition for the child will not be realized. Fortunately, in this case, there was an enigmatical revelation made to Rebecca when she was with children, and it was spoken about the elder serving the younger. And we know now that it meant that Esau the firstborn, Jacob the younger, Esau was to serve Jacob. Jacob is the line through which God would become the father of the nation of Israel. If she knew that, it does not mean that she must deceive her husband. Teach her son to lie. Teach her son to loosely use the name of God. Teach her son to deceive his own father. But that is what she did. She was prepared to do all those things because it says that when the two children were born, she looked at them, and for some reason, she loved Jacob. The father looked at them, and the father loved Esau. Here is something for you mothers to understand, that from the very beginning, when many children are in the family, it cannot be but that a father, a mother, has a favorite. Nothing wrong with that. It is how you make this known. If, as in the case of Jacob, here is the sad thing, when he had all of these children and Joseph was there, it was evident that Joseph was his favorite. Your children will find it out anyway, but you cannot make it known in such a way that the other children are filled with jealousy and envy, and they will turn upon this child that you love more than the others. Understand that in the case of Jacob, it occurred, and when Joseph was taken, he loved Benjamin rather than all his other sons, and Jacob's fault, but that he made this known. He let all his sons know without doubt that Joseph is the one that I love more than anybody else. And then Benjamin is the son of my old age. I love him more than all my other children. Do not feel guilty because you have children and you're inclined in one way toward one more than the other. Understand that if you are guilty in this respect, then it is the guilt of all of the children of Adam from the very beginning. It is just something that happens. But you can love them and you can treat them fairly and seek to ascertain from God's word which one is to have this position and which one is to have another position. And it's so important that God has to say later on when the law is given that in the case of a husband, if a husband has two wives and one of these wives he loves more than the other, and the one he loves more has a child, and the one he loves less has a child, but the wife he loves less has a child before the one he loves more, it says the firstborn is to get the right, the blessing. You cannot reverse it. Now, in this case, it was not the wife that reversed it. God reversed it. The same thing happened with Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the firstborn, but Ephraim was the one that received the blessing. These things happen. But God is determined in His Word that right is done unless it is He who chooses to make Ephraim, to make not Esau, but Jacob, the one to receive the blessing. But if this is so, please understand that God will bring it about, and you do not have to cheat and deceive and lie, and this is a terrible thing. That here is a mother, you remember I was telling you about mothers that gave counsel to their children. And so here is a mother who is telling her child to lie, deceive, cheat, telling him to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm behind you. He understood, he had a conscience. Well, what if I am cursed rather than blessed? Let the curse be upon me. Think of such a mother. What an impression he would make. And I'm thinking if later in life, when he thinks of that mother, he might say, she had ambition to push me forward and make me first. But as I think about it, I cannot honor my mother. I rejoice that she loved me and wanted me to be first. But I think back now, the way that I lied to my father, I deceived him, the way that I stole the blessing. Whereas, but Jacob had ever so much of his deception from his mother in him as well. But understand that it is a terrible thing when a mother has ambition for her children and she's prepared to go to any length to bring about the object of that ambition. I promise you this, that if the ambition you have for your child is in the will of God, it shall be brought to pass without your doing anything that is contrary to the Word of God. I promise you that. If your ambition is a good thing, God has promised, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So pray and teach and set an example before your child and tell him to trust in God. It may be that not early in life, but late in life it will come to pass. We wanted to come early in life, but for Abraham, he had to wait until he was 100 years of age. For Joseph, he had to wait until he had been maligned, lied about, cast into prison, suffered, all of this. But finally, God brought it to pass. And God perhaps has a double blessing for those that will wait this time. He can bless you, yes, but if you wait his time and wait, then he has a double blessing. God always waits. I think of the hundreds of years that transpired in Egypt when his people were slaves. And God had already told Abraham that at a certain time they were going to be delivered. And in God's time, they were delivered. But think of all of those thousands and thousands that lived and died in Egypt in bondage because it was not God's will at the time. And I think of the world. I would have thought that soon after the sin of our first parents that Christ should have come upon the scene. But all these thousands of years, the world has waited, but it says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God's time, God sent forth his son. So here is a woman who wants her son to have everything, to have the preeminence, and God wanted him to also. But she went about it in an entirely wrong way. And he got the blessing. But let me tell you this. I told you that God can have two blessings if you wait his time and wait. So when it happened, this is what happened. Look in chapter 27 now. 27:41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And what is she going to do? It says, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Here is a mother that has ambitions, and she's going to do everything in her power to preserve her son. Therefore, she's going to send him off. Look at verse 43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? And now Rebekah puts on another performance about, I want my son sent away. I want him to marry. And so she sent him away. Notice, she said, after a few days, his anger will pass, and I will notify you and bring you back again. Instead of a few days, when he went away, it was for over 20 years. And according to the scripture, Rebekah never saw her sons again. Never knew of his children, never knew of his marriage, knew nothing. But she sent him away for a few days, and it turned out to be for the rest of her life. And all this ambition that she had for a son never was seen by her eyes. She could have had her son with her, whom she loved, but she lost her son. And this ambition, yes, it was realized. But throughout his lifetime, if he had any conscience at heart, when Jacob told of it, he could think of the way that he had deceived his old blind father. And then the same thing came upon his head. His mother had a brother named Laban. And when Jacob went to work for Laban, his uncle, he had met one that was his match. And unless God had intervened, he would have become a pauper in the presence of Laban, his uncle. But do you remember how Jacob, who had deceived his father, he loved one daughter. You see, Laban had two daughters. He had Leah and Rachel. And Rachel was the younger. And Jacob loved Rachel. It said he loved her so much that he served for 7 years. And they were to him, they seemed unto him, but a few days for the love he had for. And so after working 7 years, he goes in and he thinks that he's going to take to himself Rachel. But he wakes up in the morning and it is Leah, her sister. Well, think of what happened concerning his own father. His father blessed whom he thought was Esau. But then Esau came in and his heart trembled because he understood that he had been deceived. And now Jacob also was deceived by his uncle Laban. His mother, Laban's sister, taught him how to deceive. And now he meets his mother's brother, his uncle Laban, and Laban deceives him. And this is why I tell you that if God does have a good thing for you, God will bring it to pass in his time and in his way. God does not tell us how, but he will bring it to pass. Let me tell you one lesson that Abraham learned about trusting God. When it came to Ishmael, he was not able to trust God. He had to run ahead of God and by means of the flesh bring into existence Ishmael, whom he thought would be his heir. But God said, this man is not going to be your heir. Eliezer is not going to be your heir. He said, one that comes out of your loins, he shall be your heir. All right, remember this. That God, having made that promise, brought that promise to pass. And Isaac was born to Sarah in her old age and in Abraham's old age. All right. Think now that Abraham finally has the son that God has promised. And when Isaac rose up, God, who spoke to him in the past, speaks to him again. And he says to him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering upon the mount. I will tell thee of. Now I would think this, that if I could not trust God to give me a son in the first place, I'm certainly not going to trust God when he tells me to offer my son as a burnt sacrifice. But Abraham has advanced, and it said he rose up early in the morning, and in brief, this is what happened. He took his son, and with the fire, and with the wood, and the knife, he prepared to ascend the mountain. And his son said, Father, behold, here is the wood, and here is the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, do you see the advance that he's made? In the first century, he could not believe that God would provide a son the way that God intended the son to be provided. But now the son has been provided, and God says, I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. And now Abraham is prepared to go to that extent. He trusts God to that degree. And in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith it happened. He did not have faith in the case of Ishmael. But thank God, we who have failed in the past because of our little faith can grow in faith. And now that thing which is most precious to us, we can offer it back to God. We are not told in the Old Testament what went through Abraham's mind, but we are told in the New Testament. He was prepared to offer his only begotten son according to the way that God gave his son. And it says that he was thinking as he was going to offer his son. And he accounted God able to raise him from the dead. It wasn't that he in blind faith went, but it was faith that was thinking. And he said, God has given me this son, and God has promised that I'm going to be blessed through this son. I'm going to slay him, even though God tells me to slay him. I do not understand it. But the only thing I can come up with is this, that if I do slay him, God will raise him from the dead. That is the desire that we should have in our hearts, to have that kind of faith. But alas, it was not in Rebecca's heart, and it was not in Jacob's heart, and so often it is not in our heart. So, here is a mother who wanted the best for her son, but she thought that she must lie and cheat and deceive, teach her son all these things if she's going to accomplish her end. Well, it was not necessary. So, eventually God would have brought that ambition to realization. In his way and in his time, it did come to pass because God had determined it. He did not need the help of Rebecca and her lying and her deceit. The same way that Peter was going to take the sword. Lord, shall we smite with the sword? The Lord did not need Peter's sword. He could have prayed to his father and he would have sent in more than 12 legions of angels. And so remember this. If there was a good thing that you had in ambition for your son, wait God's time and way, and God will bring it to pass. Psalm 84. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But there are some things that God never intended. Some people want to exalt their children to a place that God never intended them to be. And I will tell you the failure in the heart of Samuel, that good man of God. Think of this now. He had two sons, Joel and Abijah, these two sons. And he who was chosen of God to bless the nation of Israel, he had two sons that were worthless sons. And he made his sons judges in Israel. And it says they took bribes, they perverted justice, and they lived immoral lives. But you see, Samuel wanted his sons to take his place, to be judges in Israel. But the sad thing is that the last judge of Israel was Samuel. And when God has brought an era to an end, you do not continue it. And it never worked out. And this was partly that which caused Israel to ask for a king. So remember, you may have ambitions that God does not agree with in making your sons judges in Israel, but they are not worthy of it. It may be that someone says, I want my son to be a preacher, but he may not be morally fit to be a preacher. He may not have the capacity, the gift from God to be a preacher. The same way that Samuel wanted his sons to be judges in Israel. But God did not want them to be judges in Israel. So what I will do is simply tell you again that there are mothers that have ambition for their children, good ambition, but they fail because they bring them about, they think, the wrong way. They're prepared to accomplish their ends in the wrong way. And I will simply tell you of others who also had ambitions. You will find that Bathsheba had an ambition for her son. She wanted him to be king. And God also wanted him to be king. So God saw to it that he was made king. But in the New Testament, you have the mother of Zebedee's children who wanted her sons, James and John, to sit on the right hand and on the left hand of the Lord Jesus in his kingdom. And the Savior said, "You do not know what you are asking." And then he turned and talked to her two sons. And so it may very well be that you want your son to be a king, to be the highest. But it may be that he is not worthy of it, and he's not going to work hard to earn that reward. And therefore, God will not give it. And I assure you this, in this world, you may promote your children to a certain place when God does not want them in that place. They may be made judges in Israel the way that Samuel did, but God will soon bring them down. But in the coming day, those who are to be at God's right hand and his left hand of his son, in that coming day, those that God has chosen shall be there. So trust the Lord, have patience, and in due time, God will bring it to pass. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for all mothers who desire the best for our children. We would want it no other way. But our Father, give these mothers wisdom as to know what is the best. And then to know our God, just how this is to be brought to pass. Let us trust thee as Joseph did, as Abraham did in his old age and not in his younger days. And let us take to heart your promise. No good thing shall you withhold from us who walk uprightly. Let us walk uprightly and trust in the Lord and do good, and you shall bring it to pass. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.